I'm excited to be in this series. I love where we're going. I love what we're talking about. This is something that I'm really excited about, passionate about, and I want you guys to experience. I want you to hear God speaking to you. I want you to know that it's God beyond the shadow of a doubt. Because he does. He speaks. And this is what we're talking about. What does it look like to hear God? Last week, we talked about different places in Scripture where God spoke to different people and in different ways, and the different ways that God speak, whether it was a phenomenon plus a voice, an angelic messenger, an audible voice, a human voice, God's spirit. He talked in all of these different and varied ways. As I was reflecting, one of my favorite examples of God speaking is God in the garden, walking with Adam and Eve. That idea that right as Adam and Eve were sinning, we talked about this last week in the fig leaves and all those things, but just the idea that God was in the cool of the evening walking through the garden and he was calling out to them. I envision it being that it was their habit to take an evening stroll. And Adam and Eve to talk to God as naturally as a husband and wife would talk to each other as they're going on a neighborhood walk. I think that's how God wants to speak to us. It's that sort of relationship that God wants. So as we talk this week about hearing God speak to me, having you hear God speak to you, I want that picture to be in the back of your mind. God strolling through the garden with Adam and Eve, just talking. Pray with me. God, we trust that you speak. So speak to us now. Use my words. Use our time together. Use your holy word to speak to us and instruct us. Amen. Again, if you're a note taker, on the bulletin backside there are some places for you to take notes. Do any of you hear music right now? There's always music in your head, but with your ears, do you hear music? No. But you do recognize, correct, that there are dozens of different radio stations playing right now, and their radio waves are here. Right? That's what these wonderful things do so well. When I turn it on and turn it to radio, it's on FM. A lot of times this is how we walk around in our life, asking that God would speak to us. But the thing is, we haven't done what we needed to do to tune in.
A lot of these songs.
All right. Well, let's give another one a listen. We already listened to the song City.
These sound waves are always traveling through the world. What we need is we need a tuner. We need something to pick up the sound waves that are there. It's just like it's the same thing with Wi-Fi, where in order to pick up an internet signal, you have to have a device that's able to pick it up. Sometimes you have to have the password, but the idea is you need to tune in order to take advantage of it. God is speaking. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, God is the same yesterday, today, forever. God doesn't change. So this God that we see speaking in the Bible to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to Noah, to Moses, to the prophets, to Samuel, who we spent time with, Samuel and Eli. God spoke to them. God spoke through Jesus. And after Jesus had ascended, God spoke to Paul, to Peter, to the centurion, Cornelius, to John, all these people. God is a speaking God. And if God doesn't change, that tells me that God is still a speaking God. And some of us feel like God doesn't speak to us. It's very possible that it's not that God doesn't speak. It's just like having a radio that's not tuned in to the right frequency. So one of my desires for us is that we help each other tune in to God, knowing that God is speaking still. I think one way that we start with this is recognizing who God is. That's why we sang that last song that we sang, the Creed. These things that we believe, we know who God is through Scripture. We know who God is through what we've learned at church, through the Bible, through other godly people teaching us, or people teaching us godly things. God loves you. God wants to know you. God is a relational being. Going all the way back again to Genesis, in the very beginning, when God used his power to speak all that was into existence, each time after that day of creation was completed, it said it was good. God looked at it and said, it is good. But with the world, with the universe, with the sun, the moon, and the stars, the animals of the sky, on the ground, in the water, that wasn't enough. God in God's creative nature wanted to create someone to have another relationship with. God is always in relationship. God exists throughout eternity, before time, in time, after time, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is always relating in himself to the other parts of the Trinity, and God always wants to be relating with his creation. God always wants to be relating to us. That's who God is. Our relationship with our parents affects a lot how we see God. If the only time your parents wanted to talk to you was when you were in trouble and they gave you both the first name and the middle name, you know, if the only time my parents wanted to talk to me was when I heard, Gregory John, in that tone, I would likely have a certain view of God. But thankfully, my parents sought my opinion. They wanted to hear. I still remember hearing this question every night at dinner. So, how was your day? They wanted to know what I learned in school. They wanted to know how things were on the playground. They wanted to know every little thing about my day. That's how God is with us. There are people who think about this question of who is God, and they just have this idea of God just wants to punish the bad people. That's what God does. And I would say, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus' life. Again, one of the titles that Jesus was given before he was born, Jesus is Emmanuel. It's one of the things that Gabriel told Mary. This is what he shall be called, Emmanuel. God with us. So when we think about who God is, we look first at Jesus and we look at how Jesus treated people. Jesus healed every person who came to him. Jesus even sought some people out who didn't come to him first to love and to bless. The people who he had the hardest words for were the people who knew that they were right and didn't like how Jesus was doing things. Those are the people that Jesus had the harshest words for. Other than for those Pharisees and teachers of religious law, Jesus was amazingly kind, compassionate, patient, loving. This is who God is. So I think if we're going to rightly hear God, if we are rightly going to tune in, it starts with having a right view of who God is. And in response, who you are, who I am. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That God knew us before we were born. That God knit us together while we were still being formed in our mother's wombs. God knows you. God knows everything about you. God knows the number of hairs on your head. God knows the words on your tongue even before you speak them. And He loves you. There are times when I'm amazed that Carrie loves me. Even after all the things that she knows about me, my imperfections. But she's committed to loving me. God is like that with us. He knows us perfectly. He knows us completely. And that's how He wants you to know you. That's how God wants you to relate to you. And so when we have a correct view of who God is and who I am in response, that helps the tuning in process. In Christian literature, from Middle Ages on forward, there has been this idea of the three lights, trying to hear God speak. Assuming that God is going to speak in the same ways as we heard last week, that knowing that God doesn't change, that God will continue to speak in an audible voice using angelic messengers. God will continue to use phenomenon to get our attention. God will continue to speak using our conscious or that still small voice. Theologians have narrowed down to three main ways that we hear God. And they are these. First of all, circumstances. And this often is in response to a question that we are asking God. God, should I take this job? God, whom should I marry? Or should I marry this person? Where should I go to school? What should I do? Do you want me to have a conversation with you about this person who I know isn't walking with you? And so the first of the three lights is circumstances. So let's use that last example. I have some people in my life who don't know Jesus, or they may know about Him, but I wouldn't say that they have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I say, okay, God, these are people that I think you would want me to tell about you. And as I'm thinking about them and praying for them and talking to God about them, it has happened before where, like, I start doing that on a Monday, and on Wednesday, I run into them. Is that just a random circumstance? Or is God actually answering my prayer, a question that I didn't directly ask that way, but is God saying something to me? I would say so. So it's circumstances. It's looking at the world that we find ourselves in and seeing it in such a way where God can speak in nature. God can talk to us using circumstances. Sometimes God will use audible words. Sometimes God will use people to speak, but sometimes it's just more the situation that we find ourselves in.
Hi.
Hi, Roger.
I just want to let them know that I put a C-clamp on those doors now out there, the trash doors.
Okay.
That's holding them in closed really good. So
Perfect.
Please put the C clamp back on.
Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Raj. The second of the three lights, the voice of the Spirit. One advantage that we have over the followers of God in the Old Testament is that we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. In this passage that we read from John 16, Jesus says, it's actually a good thing that I go, because if I go, when I go, the Father will send you another one in my place. He will send the advocate, the counselor, and he will live in you, reside in you. And so we have the Holy Spirit. If we are followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. And so the Holy Spirit gives us impressions. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. I would say that this often is that still small voice, that thing. And so for me, and back to that illustration of this friend who doesn't know Jesus, it's often that I have an idea that I should really talk to someone. I should really give someone a call. There was one time when I was in high school, and at that point, it was the strongest I'd ever had one of these impressions. I was driving, and I felt or heard God say, "You need to pray for your grandma." And I did. I prayed really fervently. I didn't know what was going on. I tried to figure out later if anything was going on specifically at that time. I don't know that there was. But I just had this sense that I needed to pray for my grandma at that point. Those sorts of things happen often as impressions of the Spirit. These are one of the ways that we see God is guiding us, God is speaking to us. And lastly, and I would say most importantly, passages from Scripture. There's a reason why we spent the first 33 weeks that we were together as a church going through one book, going through the Gospel of Luke. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know the Bible. That's why the women are using the if equip stuff. That's why for as guys, we're getting together and we're focusing on the Bible, the book of Acts. Because I want you to know Scripture. Because it's in Scripture that God speaks most often to us. God has revealed who He is, and God uses Scripture still to speak to us. And so this is often the way that God gives guidance. If you want God to speak to you, my first and best advice, read your Bible. Read it regularly. When I was teaching Spanish, I would tell my students, it is better that you spend 5 minutes a day than an hour once a day. Than an hour once a week. Okay. It would be better that you spend 5 minutes a day, thank you, an hour than an hour once a week. And I would say that the same is true for Scripture. Granted, if you can spend an hour every day, that's better than 5 minutes a day. But regular contact with God, regular connection with God's Word will familiarize us with how God speaks, with who God is, who God's character is, and how God has related to people in the past. So if you don't feel like God is speaking to you now, and you're not reading the Bible, start. And God will speak. But just like learning a language, it doesn't come immediately. It takes practice. It takes being in a group like this where you can ask people and say, this happened. Does that sound like God? Was God speaking to me? If you're not sure. That's why I'm excited that we're starting to talk about these things. Because I want you to use this community as a listening group. I would love to hear your experience with this topic. I've got stories that I could share, but I'd rather hear yours. Has God ever spoken to you? Was it in one of these three lights? What was the circumstance? What happened? Did you need God to speak? It was just a word out of the blue. Carrie, I don't know if you could quantify it, but you said that you were sure or you knew that it was God. How? Next week we'll talk more about that, about how do you know when you get this idea, when you hear this voice, this something, this impression, how do you know that it was God and not just your own desire, your own wants? How do you know that it's not Satan? You know, the devil told me. So it's not my fault. How do you know? And how can you? Kathy, the reason I asked, where did you hear it? I was having this conversation with a friend recently, and I asked him that question. And he knew. When I asked him, where did you hear it? He said, right here. And for me, when I hear God and I know it's God, it's almost as if it comes from, for me, right about here. It's upper chest. It's not heart, but I just know in the core of who I am. I just know that it's God. There are two things in the last couple months where I had this impression in my mind, and I know it was God. The most recent one happened at work. Right now, I'm working at a place called Rudolph Technologies, and I'm working in the parts and inventory department. I get a list of all the parts that they need for either to go out to be built on a tool or to be put together in a sub-assembly. And so my job is to take tiny parts and put them into little plastic bags, put all the little plastic bags into a bigger plastic bag, and then give them to someone who's going to do something with it. So in order to find the parts, I have to go to the right spot in the warehouse. Everything has a location with a number and a letter. And whenever I see 50B on the pick list, that tells me I have to go down to the basement. And I hate going down to 50B because the basement is a space probably about as big as this whole space here, but the entire space is 50B, where everything else has, you know, it's a space about this big in the warehouse. So when it says 50B, it's like, I don't know what I'm looking for. So I went down there and couldn't find the part that I was looking for. It's got a, you know, 6-digit number that I'm looking for. And so I look at this part. No, that's not it. And go on to the next one. And I'm down there for about 15 or 20 minutes. Can't find it. I walk up from the basement and talk to the guy who works in shipping, which is right outside. And actually, he came down. He came down and said, you know, what you doing? I said, I'm looking for this part. And he said, how are you doing? And I told him, and we started chatting. And after I told him how I was doing, I said, and how are you doing? And I gave it that sort of emphasis, and he told me his life story. He opened up, and when he was done, he said, well, you asked. Like, sorry, I didn't mean to share that much. But I was really glad that he did. Life is kind of rough. for this guy. And as we were walking up and out, we decided that couldn't find the part. He told me a little bit more about himself, the fact that he didn't have a great childhood. His dad died when he was either 8 or in 8th grade. I think it was when he was in 8th grade. And he was mad at God and mad at the world, and didn't have an easy go of things. And so I talked to him about who I am and what I do and all of this. And he and I just really, really connected. When I got back to the department that I work in, the person who gave me the pick list said, "Oh, you're back. You don't need to do that one anymore." It's like, what, are you kidding me? I just wasted a half hour. But I actually, as these thoughts were forming in my head in this place, I knew. I would say that God told me, Greg, you were there for him. It wasn't about being inconvenienced. It wasn't just anything. This wasn't a random coincidence. It wasn't just a circumstance. This was there so that God could show this man who had been hurting for a long time and now his life is changing as he's getting a divorce, having to move out, having to do all this, for him to know that there's someone else who knows him, who loves him, who's willing to listen. And I really sensed it in this place where God speaks to me saying, that wasn't for you. That wasn't about you. This is about him. And sometimes it's about that. Sometimes God speaks to me about things that aren't me. And that's also another thing that I'm learning. Not everything in this world is about me. As we continue in worship in weeks to come, I will keep asking that question of, where are you seeing God? Where are you hearing God? And I know that some of you won't likely share in that setting. That's okay. I want you to feel like you can. And it's never going to be something like, ooh, I heard from God today, I'm special. You know, it's not that. It's that I want you to know that God is interested in you, that God loves you, God knows you, and he wants to have that sort of relationship like he had with Adam and Eve before sin entered the world, where in the cool of the evening, God was going for his evening stroll and he was looking for Adam and Eve to walk with. God wants to know you that way. And that involves conversation. That involves God speaking and us listening. That involves us speaking and God listening. Sometimes I only think about talking to God when I've got a problem or when I have a dilemma that I need fixed. And if the only time I went to Carrie in our relationship is when I needed a recipe, that would be a pretty shallow, unfulfilling relationship. Carrie would eventually end up feeling used. And I would think, man, Carrie's always got a recipe when I look for it. And Carrie would say, but that's not what it means to be husband and wife. That's not what it means to have this long, fulfilling relationship. God is happy to provide recipes. God is happy to provide answers when you need answers. But he wants to have a relationship where you know him and where he knows you. Because he does know you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you speak. Thank you, God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, knowing that he will guide us into all truth. That he does not speak on his own, but he will tell us what he has heard. He'll tell us about the future, and he will bring you, Jesus, glory by telling us whatever he receives. Thank you, God, that you speak. Help us to listen. Amen. If you have questions throughout the week, let me know. If you have an exciting story throughout the week and you want to share it, you could share that too. If you could use Facebook to do it, could give me a call. I'd love to hear your story. If God speaks and you're not sure it's God, bring that story next week and we can talk about it. It'd be great to have a case study. As we end, it's a privilege to give you a benediction. So again, I invite you to hold out your hands as you're able, as if it's Christmas Day and you are ready to receive a gift from your Heavenly Father who loves you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a great week.